and burnt incense still on the high places. Then it says this strange thing, and the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and he dwelt in a several house, which is just a housing community for those that had leprosy, separated from the rest of the community. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. So his son was kind of co-regent at the same time he was king, making those decisions and doing those things. But we look and we see this, and it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and then he becomes a leper because the Lord smote him. And you just wonder what is going on. But in 2 Chronicles, and you might want to turn there just to keep it in context, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we see what has gone on and what has happened. And that's what's so wonderful about the whole Bible, is that we just don't have to guess and see that the Lord will tell us. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. And 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. So we see all these things matching up. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper, which makes us think that there was times where he wavered in his faith and walked away from the things of the Lord. But it says as all the times that he sought the Lord made him to prosper. And so we see those things coming to pass, and we realize that prospering is not just a financial thing or a physical thing. Sometimes it's more of a spiritual thing. The prospering that we have with the things of the Lord, the growing in grace, the understanding of what grace does and faith, in all those things, we just realize that those can become greater riches for us than even physical riches. And it says that he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built the cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. So when he was prospering, the Lord gave him prosperity even in attacking the enemy. And he will do that with you and I too, because we have an enemy of our soul, an enemy who's against us. We have his minions all around us that are attacking us, the discouragement and all of those things that the enemy brings to our lives, the destruction that he wants to have in our lives and cause us in our lives, that when we're prospering in the things of the Lord, we can get built up to a point where we can even come against the enemy and have prosperity and favor. I don't recommend going against the enemy in your own strength. You'll never make it. You'll soon be crushed and broken and wonder why God hasn't blessed you. But we need to have our hearts in that right place first before we can go about in doing those things and coming against those things in our own lives, in our own hearts, and for our family as we cry out and we pray for them. As we see those things. So he's come against the enemy, and he's even built houses or dwelling places in the midst of his enemy. And boy, that is a bold move. That is something bold that can happen, but bold only in the strength of the Lord. And that's a sweet place. I wouldn't recommend doing that for anybody, to go and dwell among the enemy and say, hey, enemy, here I am, and I'm going to build a house here, and you can't do anything against me. Unless the Lord is telling us to do those things, it's the wrong move. It's the wrong place to be. We need to be walking in the strength of the Lord, always following him and doing what he has. And it says, and God helped him against the Philistines in verse 7, and against the Arabians that dwelled at Jerbaal, and against the Mehumans. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. The enemy was giving gifts. The enemy was paying for his living in his name spread, not because he spread it, but because God was his strength. Because God was the one giving him understanding for the times and understanding for the ways that he needed to be with his enemies and what he needed to do. It says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and fortified them, strengthened them, and then fortified them for safety for the people within. And that's what a good king is always going to do. A good leader of a country is going to fortify the country, and then he's going to strengthen the country against the attacks of the enemy, because every enemy wants to attack somebody else. It doesn't matter color, it doesn't matter anything else. What matters is that if we're building up those things, we're going to get attacked by some enemy or another. Somebody wants your stuff. And a good king, a good leader is going to fortify and then strengthen. A good leader is not going to tear down and give over. As we see, even in our own country, I'm not mentioning names. I'm being very unpolitical. It's amazing. I was reading Harbinger's News the other day, the Wiccans are complaining because they've been casting spells against Donald Trump. And the spells are not working, and they're blaming it on the Christians because they're praying. That's just like, really? I'm glad they realize who's stronger. You know, they don't have the strength to do it, but God has the strength to shield. I'm glad they realize it, and I'm thankful for it. But we should be praying for both candidates because they both need Jesus. We should be praying for all the people involved in it because they all need Jesus. We shouldn't pray for one political leader over another. We should just pray for God's will to be accomplished, but they need salvation. And that's where our hearts need to be. Well, there's your political for the day. I wasn't going to do that. It says, moreover, he built towers at these prominent places. You just don't build them hither and thither. You build them in prominent places where you know the attack could come, if it would come. You have the understanding of God. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to build your towers. And even in our own lives, we need to have that, because we're shielded about by the Lord, but we need to build those things and garrison those things about by his strength, but also by our prayers, and also by our giving over to him and our leading from him. We need to do it for our families. We need to do it for those that we love, for our coworkers, for our neighbors, for our neighborhoods. Because it's no good praying for your neighbors and for your own home if your neighbors are all completely a mess and going to attack you. You need to pray for them. Pray for those towers to be built in that specific place so that they can be shielded and realize the comfort of God and the strength of God. Even if they don't acknowledge it, it doesn't matter. God is in the business of revealing himself. Whether people acknowledge it or not is up to them. But he's in that business of doing that work and being that God for them, even if they don't acknowledge it. But our job is not to change them. Our job is just to do what's right. And sometimes it's praying for our neighbors, even if they're not going to accept Jesus. Keep praying for them. God knows, and you never know who's going to be in heaven with you. So he built it at the corner gate, the valley gate, the turning of the wall, fortified them, and he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. Towers in the desert to just see who was coming, and also wells for the feeding and the nourishing of those who would be traveling through and ministering. And we look and we dig those wells. And he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. And he loved husbandry. He was a gardener. Go figure. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. And the whole number of the chief of the father of mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines. Really? engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones with all. More in the sense of catapults, I guess. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And here comes the danger, and it's a danger for you and I too. We can become strong in the things of the Lord, and then we sit there and think that we don't need God anymore, that we got a handle on it, we can do it now. Every day we need to be before him, because it tells us in Scripture his mercies are new every morning, his compassions fail not. We need to be seeking him every day. This is a daily thing. This isn't something that's just going to happen once upon a time and then we're great for all the time afterwards. This is a daily thing that we do. We always come before him and always come to him and look for his ways to be ours. It says in verse 16 then, and here comes the rub, here comes the reason why the Lord smites him, as we see in Kings. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Beware of the times where your strength is increased, where you think you've got a handle on the word, where you think you've got a handle on prayer, where you think you have a handle on teaching the word of God. There's a danger in that, because your hearts are going to be lifted up. I'm sure he never went with the intention of, I'm going to do all these things, and when I get strong, I'm going to come against the Lord. But little by little, his heart got lifted up, because he saw victory after victory in his life. You may have victory over alcohol and drugs and infidelity, and victory over this, and victory over swearing, and victory over that. But as you go through it, be careful of your heart condition. Because as you do those things, the tendency for us in these tents that we dwell in is that we get prideful. Looky what I've done. And then the end comes. The heart gets lifted up and it comes against the Lord. The Lord loves a humble heart. A humble and a contrite heart, the Lord says. To always be before him, realizing who's the one that made us great in this kingdom of his. It was him. It wasn't us. And we really need to be careful of where our hearts go. It says his heart was lifted up and he transgressed. He willfully sinned is what transgressions mean. It means that we see it for what it is, but we willfully do it anyway. Oh, sin in general is just missing the mark. It's like a one that's shooting a bow and his arrow misses the target, misses the bullseye, and they cry out, you've sinned, meaning that you've missed the mark. But a transgression is a willful coming against the things of the Lord because we think we've got it together. Oh, Lord help us. He transgressed against the Lord and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. You are not king priest. You are not a king and a priest. You're just the king, and the Lord has anointed you for that. Don't take on something that you shouldn't be handling, because there's one that's coming that's going to be a king and a priest, and his name is Jesus, and it's not you, Uzziah. But isn't that amazing? Because right now, the government has control pretty much over the churches. We want you to close. Okay, we'll close. Really? And if you don't close, we're going to bring lawsuits against you. And keep praying for that, because we know that it worked one time, don't we? And what's going to happen the next time? Cha-ching, we're going to shut you down even more. And there, then where are we going to go?
In your house.
Yeah, there we go. I'll draw a fish on the, in the driveway. Just come on in. But we need to be careful of what happens in that place. But the priests, 80 of the priests come and they stand in front of the king. The church is running the country, not the country running the church. God is not below the government. God is above the government, and his church should be leading. Because remember, as you go through scripture, when the Lord called the armies to fight, he had what? The Levites and the singers go out before them, which is a strange way to fight a battle. But God's ways aren't our ways. They're always better. And he has them go out before the battle. The church should be leading the country. And right now in our country, the church is not leading the country. The country's leading the church. And that's a sad place to be. Lord, how do we change it? I don't know. But God knows. But it's changed one heart at a time. So Lord, show me where my heart is so that I can be right and faithful before you. So that at least I'm going in the right direction. I can't control anybody else, but I need to be faithful.
That's right.
And if the rest of your family doesn't follow the things of the Lord, so be it. But you still have to be faithful. We still have to be faithful to what the Lord has called us to. We still need to worship. We still need to pray. We still need to read. We still need to walk in truth after our God. It doesn't matter what the rest of the family does. What matters is, God, am I faithful to you? So help me in it. And Uzziah, the king has come in, and the church withstands him. Praise the Lord for it. A great example for us. But this is why the Lord smote him. He went in to burn incense upon the altar. And Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 of the Lord's men. And they were valiant and they withstood the king. And he said, you aren't supposed to be doing this, king. But this is only for the priests of the son of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. Neither shall it be for your honor from the Lord God. And then Uzziah was wroth. You can tell when somebody gets busted because they get angry, don't they? Mm-hmm. You get angry because you got busted. Ugh. What do you mean your way's better than my way? I'll show you that my way is better than you. Try your way and it completely falls apart. Just for the Lord to show us our hearts in the way that we go. Because we do get so puffed up. My way's got to be right. I've always done it this way. Doesn't mean it's always right. He was wroth and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Remind you of two of Aaron's sons. They got smoked while they were burning incense. No pun intended. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Amazing is this would happen. And we think, well, God, how can something that quick come about? Remember Miriam when she got upset with Moses? And she got leprosy instantly. Just like, whoa, the Lord can do anything. We can't inhibit and think that the Lord can't do anything. With God, all things are possible. And his ways are so different than our ways. If he can speak the world into existence in 6 days, why can't he bring leprosy in somebody in a moment? Oh, well, God can't really do that. Well, my God can. How big is your God? Is your God too small to be able to do that? If it is, then you've got the wrong God. And so this is why the Lord was angry with Uzziah, as he comes in and he tries to take the place of somebody that the Lord hasn't made him to be. And a lot of people want to do that. We want to go into a place and be something that the Lord hasn't made us to be. And we get upset because God won't let us. And there's a lot of people that leave the church because God won't let them be an elder or be a pastor or be a teacher. And they get mad and leave the church. Just, oh, Lord, help us to walk in those right ways of knowing our limitations, of knowing the place that God has called us to, so that we won't want somebody else, so that we won't want somebody else's job or position or title or anything else. We need to be content with who God has made us and how he's made us and what he's made us for, and not to worry about all the other stuff. Because that's just pride of heart. And notice, it wasn't till his heart was lifted up that Uzziah tried to do this. It wasn't till his heart was wrong with the things of the Lord before he tried to do this. While he was right with the things of the Lord was making him prosper and all these things were going on, and not once did he go in and try and burn incense. But once his heart was lifted up in pride, then he tried to do it. Sound like somebody we know whose name is Satan, whose heart was lifted up and he said, I want to be as God? Oof. That's what happens when pride comes in. I can do it better than they can do it. And you may be able to, but you know what? If it isn't what God has called you to, you're going to fail. Guaranteed. You may not get leprosy, but what does leprosy look like? In scripture, it looks like sin that enters into a person and causes destruction for them and separates them from the things of God. And isn't that what's happening with him? And isn't that what happens when sin comes into our lives? Through pride. It just causes us to be separated. It causes us to get angry with church people. Just all the things that we see are all the things that happen to us. And yet, we look at it as something in the Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us. Every single thing on this page applies to us. It is amazing to see how bad our hearts are. What did Jeremiah say? Our hearts are desperately wicked above all things. Who can know them? Who can know our own hearts? We don't. The Lord does, though. And as he brings circumstances into our life, he shows us where our hearts really are. Just help, Lord. So let's go back to Kings and go on here, and we'll come back to Chronicles in a minute, I think. But it says in verse 6, and the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah the son of Jeroboam reign over Israel and Samaria 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And that's pretty much his reign. Isn't that a sad reign? He did that which was evil, and he didn't depart from sin. Kapump. There's your eulogy. I would hate to have that for my eulogy. And Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. So he only reigned 6 months, and then he gets smoked by this man who conspires against him. And this was prophesied about in Amos chapter 7, verse 9. You can go there sometime and read it, and just as they tie these things together. So Amos was at this time prophesying and coming into the country, and these things were talked about there. And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And this was the word of the Lord which he spoke unto Jehu, saying, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel until the fourth generation. And it came to pass. And back in chapter 10, we read through it, that because Jehu did what was right in the sight of the Lord somewhat, the Lord said, until the fourth generation, your sons are going to sit on the throne. This is the fourth generation. It's done. It's over with. He's done. And his line is done. Whatever the Lord says. And we sit there and think, God keeps contradicting his word. And we never see God's word really come to pass. I don't know about you, but as the more I read, the more I look, the more I understand, the more I realize God's word always comes to pass. Always what he says is coming to pass. And we know what's next on the prophetic calendar for you and I. Rapture's coming. And we're going home. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome, wonderful, great. Our medical system will be fixed. We won't need a medical system because he's our physician. He's going to be everything. And we're going to see things for the way that they really are. But until then, we deal with the things that are here. So, Lord, help us to occupy. Help us to be in this place, but still be faithful to you and walk in the right ways. So it says then in verse 13 that Shalom, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the ninth and the 30th year of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And he reigned a full month in Samaria. Wow. You know what? You can't even get a parade in 30 days, you know, the way things go in government. And he's only there for a month. You don't even get people set up in places. You know, you're going to be my general. You're going to be a secretary of state. You can't even get people nominated and elected in that amount of time. His reign was not good. For Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and smote Shalom, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria, and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Shalom, which weren't many, and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah. And again, his eulogy. He smote somebody, they died, and he reigned for a month. Wow. Awful. Not a good dad. Not read about being is a good ruler. He was there. He died quickly. A sad thing. He came against the things of the Lord. And in verse 16, it says, then Menahem smote Tifsah and all that were therein, in the coast thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. And therefore he smote it. And all the women therein that were with child, he ripped up. Here comes an awful king, just speaking of destruction. And he's supposed to be a king, a ruler, but instead of bringing peace to the kingdom, he's killing people just so that he can have complete rule. And we see it happening all over the world, that when different people come in, they just killed whole tribes and whole groups of opposition. And it says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yeah. And he departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land. And Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem... exacted the money of Israel, even all of the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. And we see this king who not only destroys people, who doesn't care about the people in his kingdom, but to keep himself in power, he allows the country to go under. And God doesn't think much of that. For those of you that want to be president someday, be careful of what you do once you become president. Don't destroy the people and don't exact from them money just so that you can stay in power. You do what's right. And this man didn't do what was right. What should have the king done? First thing is to seek the Lord's heart. And the second thing is to fight for his kingdom. He doesn't fight for his kingdom. He just gives it over willingly just so that he can still have a name. And that's a sad thing. But we see the whole world coming to that place because we know one day there's going to be a man who's called Antichrist, and he's going to come and every kingdom in the world is going to bow before him. Instead of fighting for what's right and doing what's right, they're going to give themselves over to the Antichrist to let him rule and reign. And they're going to give their people over to this Antichrist to rule and reign over the whole world. What a sad condition that's going to be. But you see, the whole earth is coming to that place. We shouldn't be surprised at the awfulness and the evil that's in the world. God told us it was coming. And to be prepared for the Antichrist to come, all the nations of the world have to be in the place of looking for somebody who's going to bring peace and safety and hopefully well-being to them. And they're willing to give up their liberty just so that they can stay in the place that they are, the stature that they have, in the position that they have. They'll give themselves over so that they can have it instead of fighting for it. No longer will fathers be fighting for their kids and husbands fighting for their wives. And mothers fighting for their kids. They're just going to be giving themselves over. And whatever happens, oh well, it's okay. Oh, and America's in that place. We're close to giving ourselves over completely to the enemy, if we haven't already. Scary place, isn't it? But you know what? God's still on the throne. So we're okay. So he smote him and he did evil in that sight, and he gave to the king of Assyria all the money that he wanted, and he took it from the rich men. And I hate to tell you, but any government leader knows that if you take the money away from the rich people, you aren't going to have many donations coming in for your next campaign. Because it's the rich ones that are giving you the money to run because they want you in power so that you'll have favor towards them. A dollar donation is much different than $50 million at a time, as some people have given to campaigns for the presidency now. Oh, it all matters, but you get the rich ones first. And so things are going to come against him. So it says in verse 21, the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Menahem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his stead. This is almost like the book of Genesis, isn't it? That this person comes and he lived for so long and he died. And then this person comes and he lived so long and he died. And what do we see here? This guy came into power for 3 months, for 6 months, for a month, for 52 years, and he died. We know the end result of every single human being unless the Lord comes. And that is that we're all going to die. But are we going to die in the Lord, or are we going to die without the Lord? And that's the only important thing that goes on spiritually for all of us. Is, Lord, do I have you and do you have me? Am I in Christ and Christ in me? And he said, you can know that you're the children of God. The Spirit is going to confirm that to your spirit, that you're a child of God. Have you gotten that confirmation? Do you know that you're a child of God and that you're his and that he loves you? Walk in those truths. And take everything that comes into your life in that sense that, God, you're in me, I'm in you, so let's go. So in verse 23, it says, in the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, they need real names like George and Fred, they began to reign over Israel and Samaria. And they reigned for 2 years. This guy must have felt really good. Well, I made it through a month. I'm doing really good. But he reigned for 2 years. and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, you would think people would learn, wouldn't you? But we don't learn. What we realize is that we don't learn. We don't listen to history. We don't listen to the things that are going on. Instead, we just keep going on because we're all concerned about ourselves. We're not looking at the things that are going on around us. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, but Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria in the palace of the king's house with Argob and Ariah, and with him 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and he reigned in his room. And the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And in the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, he was just a short version of Pekahiah. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And all the days of Pekah, the king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Abel, Maacah and Genoa, and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee in the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. And this is what happens. The longer that we walk in the evilness against the things of the Lord, the more the opportunity is that we're going to be taken captive by the enemy and pulled away to strange places. And I don't know about you, but when I was in sin, I was in strange places. I was doing stuff that I would never do in my right mind. I know that I had a distorted in a strange mind because I was going into places and doing things that I never would have done in my right mind. And you just remember all those things and say, Lord, thank you for keeping me, but forgive me for how I treated you in the midst of it, because you died for me. Oh, you know how sad, because we destroy families along the way. We destroy kids' minds and kids' hearts and husbands' and wives' hearts. And we destroy those things as we go through those dark times and those dark places in doing those things. But the Lord has his way of bringing us out, and thank the Lord for that, because now we're walking in the light. And boy, how great it is when you're walking in the light. I don't know about you, but just seeing all these weird things on people's lawns, I had enough. I grew up on a farm, and I could get scared just going around the corner of the barn with the stuff that was going on out there, because it's completely dark. There's no lights. We only had a light up near the house. And I could get scared to death just doing that. I didn't need skeletons standing there because they wouldn't bother me. But some of the noises would just, okay, I'm running home. It's amazing. And yet we're glorifying that. And it just shows the condition of people's hearts that are here. That we would want to scare our kids.
They're bolder.
Mm-hmm. And they're in a place because we're allowing it. Because of the condition of the country, we're in a place where that's being allowed and tolerated and accepted. Well, they're just being who they are. That doesn't mean it's right. Lord, help us. Yeah, Betsy.
My daughter's this morning, across the street from her is a display, the worst I've ever seen. It's huge, demonic, everything.
Mm-hmm.
She has to look at that every time she goes out of the driveway.
It's almost time for a bonfire, you know?
It's got a casket with rust and hell.
Oh. Oh boy.
Dragons too. Do you see dragons all over? What does that represent?
Mm-hmm.
There's a house that I saw that had 10 dragons. Oh. Those glowing dragons. And I just speak blessing.
That's when you start. You start praying and you you start interceding and standing in the gap and you know God's going to do something. Just, oh, awful stuff. But that's what's going to happen. The more we involve ourselves in evil and think that it's okay, because this guy reigned a long time. And you think, well, if God's keeping him alive, then must be what he's doing is okay. So let's just go along with it. If the rest of the world is going for it, let's do it. We can't. We know what's truth. We've got truth. We need to hold on to it and not let those things in the acceptance of the world change our minds and change our hearts from the direction that we're going. It shouldn't have been for the kings of Israel. It shouldn't be for us as believers in Jesus. You're a son of the King of Kings and a daughter of the King of Kings. What right do we have to go against that and come against him? We don't have any right. But what we have a right to do is to walk with him. And that's what he wants for us. That's the very best. And so let's go with that. So the rest of the acts are there. It says in verse 27, in the 50th year of... we already did that, didn't we? 29, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, comes and he gives himself over to those things. In verse 30, it says, "And Hoshea, the son of Elah, made conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah." Boy, when evil people rule in a kingdom, there's a lot more evil people around them just waiting to take their place, isn't there? But when you see a godly king sitting in the throne, you don't see that many people coming against what he's doing and coming against him to destroy him. And it's wonderful to see. When Solomon was walking with the Lord, he had rest from all his enemies. His enemies were all around him, just like Israel has their enemies all around him right now. But when Solomon was ruling and reigning, he had rest because the Lord gave him rest. He had peace because the Lord gave him peace. Because he was following after the things of the Lord. And he reigned a long time. And then he fell out of favor with the Lord because of the things that he was doing and allowing to come into his life. And then the enemy starts attacking. And so we see the difference of things that are going on. So Lord, help us to get to that place where we can know your rest and peace in our own life, even if the rest of the world is in commotion around us. And keep them at bay, Lord, please. But we need those towers. We need those things fortified against those things so that we can stand in that place. And that calls us to be before the Lord. And so Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and he smote him, slew him, and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. And the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the King of Israel. And in the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. And 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerushua, the son of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit the high places were not removed, and the people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. And he built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And in those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of Judah, his father. And Ahaz, his son, began to reign in his stead. So we see this man, and it says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And what is it that he did right? You don't have to hold your place here, because we'll just go to Chronicles chapter 26 again we'll finish up there this morning. But again, so important for us to keep reading and to keep looking, to keep having the things of the Lord. But in chapter 26, again, of Chronicles, it says this. in chapter 27. I'm sorry, chapter 27. It says that Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years. So we see that comparison come to agreement. His mother's name was also Jerushua, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and yet the people did yet corruptly. He didn't come in where his father did. He learned. Praise the Lord. Our fathers are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. We are not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But pray that your kids learn from the mistakes as they see us. Ask for forgiveness as they see us repent and turn from those things, as they see us change to realize that, hey, they didn't do it anymore because they realized how bad it was. And so they didn't do it. But it says that he built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, in the forests he built castles and towers. And he fought also with the king of the Amorites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, and 10,000 measures of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty. And do something with this verse, underline it, highlight it, put it on your fridge, do something with it. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. There's always blessings in obedience. As he prepared his ways before the Lord, he didn't prepare his own ways. He prepared his ways because of the ways that God had told him, because of the ways that God had showed him, because of the scripture of God. There's blessings in obedience to the word of God. And we need to know that. We need to have that. He became mighty. He became prosperous, we read of other people, because they set their hearts to obey the Lord. They set their hearts to prepare their ways before the Lord. And that's what we need to do also. We are in times that we've never been in before. You've never been this old before, have you? You have no clue what to do right now. But we know what to do because the Lord is going to show us what to do. You're not here to retire from the things of the Lord. You may be retired from the workplace, but you're not retired from walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we will never retire from that. When we get home, that's when we rest. That's one of the things the Lord showed me when he first started calling me out to Macedon. And I said, Lord, I'm old, I'm tired, I'm retired, and I'm going to be more tired. And I don't want to be super tired. And he said, you won't be tired, you'll be energized, you'll keep going. Because I want you to prepare your ways before me, because this is the place that I'm going to take you. You can rest when you get home. I got a recliner for you. You can rest on it. It's in the shape of a cloud. It looks like a recliner. It's good. You'll love it. And it's okay, but don't do it till then. We don't get to retire as Christians. We're a soldier in the army forever until we go home. And then he'll take care of us. But hang on and keep looking for the things of the Lord. Prepare your ways before the Lord. Lord, what are your ways for me right now? And help me not to look at anybody else, but just show me what my ways are to be. Am I here to minister to my husband? If that's it, great, Lord, help me to be the best preparer in those ways that I can be. If I'm here in a nursing home, Lord, if all I'm here for is to pray for everybody else around me, then Lord, give me that prayer list so that I can start praying now, and help me to be faithful in it. Spurgeon, it's told of that once he went to see a lady who had been confined to her bed for years and years. And he went in feeling sorry for this lady after hearing her story. And he goes into her, and all she did all day long, all she did, poor lady, was pray. And he came out of there so blessed. because she was doing more with what she had, even though she couldn't move, than he was doing with his, and he could move. Oh, when you get the call from God, and he gives you what you have to do, if you do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll be better off than everybody around you, because you're doing exactly what the will of God is for your life at that moment. It might change. Who knows? We might not be here forever. We might end up in a nursing home somewhere. God forbid. I'd rather just get raptured. I know my daughter says, you're not going to a nursing home. You're coming to live with me, and the dog's going to sleep on you. Oh, no, not that dog. It's the anti-dog. He is awful. And he's big besides, Well, he could suffocate me, maybe.
Sure.
Let's pray and then we'll have that. So, Father, just thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness to us, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to know your call, to know your ways, and to know that we're in this for the long haul. That this is not something just quick and momentary. That this is for the rest of our time, Lord. So help us to prepare our ways before you, that we might know your call, that we might know your ways, and to do it to the very best of what we have, Lord. Father, we want to be faithful. We want to hear at the end of time, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Lord, we know that we can't be faithful unless we know what the call is. So Lord, help us to seek you, to seek your heart, to know your ways, and then to be faithful in it. So Lord, have your way with us. We need you. We thank you. Fill us afresh and help us to be those witnesses in this world as we walk through this world today, Lord, that we be faithful in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Kath.